amazing that our young people have been in church this morning, hearing those worship songs, hearing that prayer. Isn't it amazing that their ears are hearing what God is doing, not just in their groups, but in our body as well? I think it's just incredible what we're exposing these young kids to in the safety of this church. So thank you all for being part of their future and our future too, because it's incredible what we can sow into them at such a young age. Amen. Right, I've got a PowerPoint. Jed, thank you very much. Well, welcome. How are you feeling today? Yeah? After singing those songs, I'm surprised you're not more loud. You know what I'm like? Come on, we've just said we're going to shout your praise. You're like, yeah, I'm good. Oh, you're going to have to do some participation again today. So over the last few weeks, we have had members of our church leadership sharing a little bit about what they do and why. And if you've missed any of those sessions, you can check out our website. Do you want to go to the next slide, Jed, and show them? How many of you have seen this website? Yeah. Oh, a couple. Do you know Lisa spends hours keeping up to date? So she'll be disappointed that there's not all of you going, yes, it's the first thing I check every Monday to find out what's going on. But you can go on there, and on there you can see all our sermons. They're recorded and uploaded every week. So it's just carmelcc.org.uk, and you can listen back to all of our messages. Because we started with Mike sharing a little bit about his role as a trustee and what he does in this church, and Mark sharing a statement, which we've got some more printed out if you haven't seen it already, about the success of our funding bid. Woo-woo. And the opportunities that it's given us as a church. See, I'm getting there. The trustees have an important role within this church. These volunteers keep us safe and compliant with the Charity Commission and provide the governance of this church. They ensure that our church finances are stewarded well and every financial decision is within our charity objectives. It's not an easy task, is it, Mike? It's not an easy task, is it, Tracy? It's not an easy job, is it, Mark? Easy, okay. Well, you can carry on doing it then. Be careful what you wish for. Lisa has also shared last week about her CAP roles and all the roles that she's done in church, and how especially the CAP role was sparked by conversation from Mark, seeing her giftings and calling it out, and how many roles along the years led to and equipped her to her current roles in leadership. So it's awesome what God does on the journey, isn't it? So often we're set on our destination. We want to get there. We want to be that person. We want to get free of all this stuff. But God says, don't forget the journey. I've got good things for you on the journey. Keep your eyes open. Look out the window and just see what I'm doing along the way. We've also had the kids team come and share, and Sue on behalf of the youth team, sharing about the amazing ministry that runs alongside our Sunday gatherings. And again, she mentioned the youth trip to Leeds last week. Do you want to put the next slide up, Jed? The Awaken event, one of the first ones that our youth have gone to nationally, which is incredible. And they've got seen so many new things, so many doors opening for them. And tonight, Tameside Kingdom Partnership youth event, the first one in the area for a long time. Should we need to get on our knees and pray for them, don't we? We need to get on our knees and pray for more to come. Parents, we thank you so much for taking them tonight. We thank you so much for making that space in your calendars to put them this first, because we can see something mighty happening as we come together as churches. So from all of this, from following on from all these amazing testimonies on our leaderships and what they're doing faithfully serving us at Carmel, what's my contribution? No, don't know. I like it. Front row hecklers already. I'm definitely in the right place. Well, I want to start with this. What I love about church is not the feeling I get on a Sunday, but the mobilization, the action of our church coming together outside of the gathering. Following Jesus is not about making us feel better. It is about sharing what we know about Jesus with others. It's from our first encounter with him, we have a story to tell others, and we have a promise that is documented in Acts verse 1, verse 8. Please, Jed, you're already ahead of me. Look at this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Isn't that awesome? And you can localise it, Tameside, Denton, Tameside, get the right way around, and then all of the UK. You can make it personal to you, your street, your neighbourhood, the region that you work in, whatever it is, you are witnesses. Because God's given you something far more powerful than what we can do here. Holy Spirit, we just sung about it, would you move? Only you can heal our lands. And that power is within us when we go and talk. So we need to talk. Don't we? We need to have people to talk with. We can't just be isolated. And as Mark often reminds us, we need to, can I say it? Live it. I actually got the right notes as well. I was worried he's going to go off rogue and say something completely different then. But we need to live it. We need to put our faith into action. It is part of our journey of faith, and it excites me so much. Can you tell? Good, because that's what the backbone of me is all about, is getting people to release their testimony. And it means we're not settling. It means we're not just sat there going, oh, just watch it all go. I'm happy with the status quo. Things can't get any better. It's all good. It means we want to reach out wider. It means we want to get our faith deeper. It means our hearts want to love more people. Did that just go off? It's all right, Craig. I only love you, Craig.
Just tell her to shut up, Craig.
Do you want me to go to the other mic?
No.
Okay, you're there now? Okay. Oof. I do love you the most, but I love others as well. Is that okay? Crikey.
Touch it.
I know. Touch a sore nerve there. But our impact, we want to see it rippling out into our communities, don't we? We want to see what God can do. And guess what? We get the front row seats in what God's doing. And that really gets me excited. So when I see God's people having encounters with God and sharing in passages of the word, going, I've just read this, and guess what it says? I'm like, yeah, that's brilliant. Because they've had a revelation. It's not us telling them what the word says. We can go to Bible study and we can learn and we can really go deep in what the Greek, the Hebrew, what Jesus was doing, what the culture was doing. But when the Holy Spirit's with you, when you read that scripture and it goes, oh, God's speaking to me in my circumstances. How many of you read a daily devotion and it's like that was written for you right then, right there, right now? It doesn't matter what the date says that you're supposed to read it on. You've read it that morning and it's like, whoa, that was written for me right now. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. No other book can do this because you've got the author with you 24/7 and he reminds you of it. You keep going through your day and it's reminded. He keeps prompting you to remember. It becomes like an earworm in your ear where you just remember what God has said. And when that revelation is birthed, wow, that's someone excited to follow God and to know God more. Or when we start to dream and the dreams are bringing peace and clarity, it's no longer a mess. You don't wake up going, oh no, wait, God's going to move today. And when we know God a little bit deeper and that emotional and relational engaging with him, he sets us free and those dreams get bigger and we see the things in the earth around us, but from a godly perspective, we glimpse a little bit of heaven on earth. We're no longer looking at the situation, we're looking at the resolution. We're looking at the solution that God's going to bring. It gives us a boldness to believe that in God, as we've just sung, all things are possible because we're aligning with his heart. We're no longer craving our own desires. We're aligning with God and we're going, go for it, God. I'm right here with you. I want to see what you're going to do. I want to see what you're going to do with that young people today. When they come out of that room, I want them on fire, God. I want to believe that they're going to have a situation today where you're going to move in that room and they're going to come out stronger and wiser. So often when we see it in new believers, they're like, come on, God is good. And you're like, wow, you've just met God for the first time. Give it 5 years. You'll be, you know, just wait, girl. Just wait. Oh, come on, just tone it down a little bit. But we don't want to be like that, do we? We want to be on fire forever. We want to keep having those revelations and keep seeing our mindset shift a little bit more, a little bit more in focus, a little bit more in focus. There was a blind man in the Bible who Jesus healed, but he said, oh, I can just see shapes now. I can just see the outline of things. It's clearer, but I'm happy with what God. He goes, I can do better. I can make it fully in focus. And sometimes I think we give up on that first sign of a prayer being answered. We say, okay, God, that was good. But he can do better. We just need to believe for that a little bit more of the shift of the focus. And we can see things so much clearer in heaven's eye. But we need to align to God first. We need to know him. We need to get free from what we want to see and see it from God's perspective. We can't get comfortable in routine and patterns and the work in life. That's called survival, but we want to thrive. That's why when our growing together sessions, we're going to visit those stages we talked about really getting stuck into knowing God more. Because we're in a battle, aren't we? And it's not a battle that we can see, but we can definitely feel it, can't we? We can feel when there's resistance. We can feel when there's pushback. We can feel when everything inside us saying, give up, quit, stay sat at home, stay isolated. You don't want to go down there today, but we're in a battle. Jed, can you put the next scripture up? Ephesians 6 verse 12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It doesn't put it lightly, does it? It doesn't say, oh, you might be feeling a little bit off tomorrow. Just chin up. You can do it. You're in a battle. And the more you grow close to God, the more the enemy's trying to pull it back. Lisa did a brilliant example with Tani where she tied her up and Tani was like, I'm trying to go forward, but this is pulling me back. And it's only when God can cut those strings and release us, we can get free and we can walk in that freedom. We need to know who God is, don't we? And not dilute our faith down by blending it with other spiritual practices. For there is a false message in our world that says we can have it all. We can't. We can have God, and we put God first in all things. He is our ruler of all. And when we align with that and we say, yeah, I want to be all in, he will show us the things that we need to peel off. That is our happiness. It's not about our happiness. That is the most important factor in our lives. So much currently you hear in the world is, oh, it's how I feel. It's like, you know, every day, I want to get better, I want to be more centered. It's not about us. It's about our impact on others. It's about our love for those around us. It's about what God is doing. There is a darkness in this world that is trying to distract us. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but the easiest way is distraction. We fill our time with to-do lists, with courses, people, our own thoughts. We give God just seconds of our day and expect him to speak to us. God wants us to have an abundant life. That's why he sent Jesus. It wasn't just so we could stay the same. He sent Jesus to die on that cross so that we could get to know him. We can't do it on our own. We really can't. We can't fight the enemy without the Holy Spirit. So Jesus came to fight the fight for us. And all he asks is that we watch out for distractions and we follow him. That we know him and we know his voice. We went to a dog field yesterday with three dogs, and it was interesting. We were saying we have the same whistle, me and this other parent, owner of a dog. And it was interesting, the dogs knew each of our whistles, even though we whistled in exactly the same way. And we said, isn't that the modern day expression as the shepherd knows the sheep know the shepherd's voice, dogs know the dog owner's voice. We thought we might update that scripture just slightly to say there are some things that we witness where you know the voice. You know the stare of your parents when you've done something wrong growing up. You know the voice of, uh-oh, that's the full name, I'm in trouble, versus, oh, exciting. We know the voice of those around us. And God just wants us to follow his voice amongst all the voices that we can tune into. What's God saying? See, God created us in his image, and together we get to be kingdom builders. We get to serve him and find our purpose with him, and we get to we can do so much more out of our giftings, and it's like a quest we get to go on. We get to go on this adventure to find out, what is God wanting from me today, tomorrow, forever? What does God want me to do? But that means we need to align to him and to be obedient to him. But that front row seat, to get to see all the wonderful adventures, to buckle up with Jesus and just to witness all those amazing things, those miraculous things. Is it worth stepping out of our comfort zone for? Is it worth feeling a little bit like, uh-oh, what am I getting myself into? There's so much awaiting us, but sometimes we stop because we get comfortable. How do we know we're in step with Jesus? Simply put, it feels light. It might not be easy, but we won't feel anxious or drained by it. Do you want to put up the next scripture? I think I've got that there. Yeah. Next one. That's one. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So often we look at following Jesus as like this big thing, There's the law, there's commitments, there's stuff I need to do because I have to live this certain way. I need to let go of all my things and be totally pure. I need to say goodbye to all those friendship groups and I need to do this. Jesus says, no. When you come to me, I will teach you what you need to do in the time that I need you to do it. He's gentle, he's humble, and there's a rest. So often we get so urgent and we get so distracted thinking on what we can't do, we forget what we can do. And that's where the enemy is delighting, because we lose our joy. God doesn't want to follow him like, following Jesus, he told me to go to church on a Sunday. That's gone. We leave that in the 70s at the latest. Let's leave it back there. We're here for a reason. That's the Holy Spirit. We come to feel the joy of the Lord, to spread the joy of the Lord so that people feel free in the Lord. They don't need to be chained to the Lord. They don't need to be chained to doing things. The reason why that was there was for their protection. We've got the Holy Spirit now. We are changed. We are renewed. We are set free. Our burden, our task, our mission, that's light to carry. As we are not carrying other people's problems or tomorrow's worries or thinking about what's going to happen next, we just focus on Jesus and say, I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever you've got planned for me today. Let's go. I'm ready. Bring it on. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference in the world around me. I don't like seeing children being exploited or homes destroyed. I hate hearing about another life lost to suicide or abuse. But what difference can one person make in this world? Well, none if we ignore it. None if we sit at home and say it's someone else's burden. God's put it on your heart for a reason. Maybe it's to pray. Maybe it's to fund a charity or a people group that are going out there. Maybe it's for action and for you to prepare for a calling in a ministry in that area. So many people say, oh, I was burdened by this. And then next thing you know, they're like world changers because they've gone where God's called them to go. It looked impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Maybe it's to campaign or raise awareness. We only need to seek God in that situation and to know what God's will is for us. And he will guide us. And that burden, that desire in our heart, that weight, that thing that we've seen, it becomes light. And we go, okay, God's got this. But I get to see what God's going to do through me. That deep desire we just can't shake off is God saying, hey, this is important. This is your kingdom bit. This is how we all knit together. You like this, you like that, you like this. But together, what a difference we can make. But as we mobilize and we go out and out there sharing our faith and our stories, we need to acknowledge ourselves. None of us are perfect. Sue's already shared that this morning, that none of us are perfect. None of us have it all together. We have each other for encouragement and for growing together in wisdom and revelation. But what we magnify matters. Our conversations have the opportunity to bring joy into the ordinary, a chance to speak words of encouragement, of comfort, or of hope. Or we can focus on ourselves and just dump all our worries and all our burdens onto others. We need to have safe places and people that we can share and be our true selves with, the brokenness, the loneliness, the messy selves. Jesus even had a few close friends that he called alongside and confided in more than the wider group. But if we want to magnify joy, then we need to cancel our reservations with our pity parties. We need to say, I'm not attending that party. I'm going to Jesus. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And this is what a picture. Could you put up the picture? Because I bet Jed's wondering what on earth this has to do with the talk. But I had this image of us cleaning mirrors. And I love a clean mirror. But what I don't like is when I'm cleaning it, you're right up front with all your imperfections. And as you clean away the mess of the mirror, you suddenly notice more grey hairs, more imperfections, all the women in the room are like, yep, yep. All the men are like, oh, really? But it's in that moment where your focus turns from making the mirror clean to seeing the imperfections in the reflection. And once those once hidden imperfections are suddenly magnified. When we align with God, he allows us to renew and transform us. But when we go to God, we might say, I've got all these imperfections, I've got all these problems, I've got all these reasons why I'm not perfect. God's like, I don't really know about that. I've just removed it, the veil, so now you can see it, because now's the time we're going to deal with it together. And with the Holy Spirit, I can renew you. I can change that imperfection. And sometimes that imperfection means that you're going to be in the right place for me to work through you. And it's so often we kind of pretend those imperfections aren't there. We like a messy mirror because then you can't see those little details. But God's like, with me, we can wipe it clean because those imperfections can be made clean through Jesus. And that's what we want to think about when it comes to what we want to magnify, is when we are broken, when we are burdened with our own weight of stuff. And I've been there. I've been weighed down by depression, and suddenly I realised every conversation I had had that taint, that slight little bit of guilt or offence or something was just there. But when we removed it, suddenly conversations can flow freer because I've not come from a place of pain, of suffering, of loneliness. I come from a place of security because my security is in Jesus. And I think as we grow in God, He helps us become stronger in that revelation that whatever we are magnifying, the more we are aligned with Him, the more of God is magnified through what we do. Our words become kinder, softer. We listen better. He tunes us into other people better. See, when we talk about our roles in church and serving God and in our communities, what do we want to see magnified? What is it? That together we are stronger. Those on the edges are like little lambs getting pulled apart by the wolves, being tempted off by other green pastures that aren't good for them. But together is more than being in the same room once a week. It's a commitment to growing together. That's why it's been amazing to see so many of you come into the Wednesdays and Tuesdays and Sunday groups where we can actually grow together. It's about sharing a passion of why we know God and to live a life of obedience. Can you put up John 5 for me? In John 5:5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. This is the Father's glory, that you may bring much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So often we just pick out the bit of whatever you ask for, it'll be done to you. But we have to align with God first, because He knows what is better for us than we can ever dream about. When we go off and say, oh Lord, I just think, this point, someone might remember this from this morning, I want a bigger TV, Lord. I want to see your word, more clarity. God's like, that's not my will for you. However, this is my will for you. And sometimes we sit there thinking, oh God, you know, if only I could go on a holiday. But actually, no, I don't want you to go on a holiday because I need to go here instead. I need to go on a mission field instead. And sometimes it's whatever God is saying to us. He knows what's good for us. And there might be a reason doors are shut. A great speaker was sharing about his new puppy. I don't know what about dogs today. I'm sorry about that. If you're not a dog lover, change it to whatever you think. But he said he got a new puppy. And they got the finest water bowl. They pour the freshest water into that water bowl. That is your water station, puppy. Enjoy. Next thing they know, where's that coming from? The toilet. And he had to go around. He said, I'm going to close these doors because that water's not good for you. That's the good water. Stop going to the toilets. Go to that door. Go to that bowl. And it really struck me that so often we say, oh God, there's a door. Bash that door down. Break free. Because I'll close that door because over where that way is better. But we're so focused on this door shut. We're like, come on. In the name of Jesus, it's going to break. And he's like, just go that way. It's a far better route. I just want this door to... Well, I can open that door and you can see what's behind it, but it's not the door you want to open. But that's why it's so important that we remember that we are the vine, that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and we remain in Him. In Him. We can't just go, well, Jesus is here on a Sunday and I'll see you again next Sunday. We need to remain in Him because that's where we feel the fruit of the Spirit come. It's the living, it's the growing, it's the entwining, it's the connected, it's the rootedness of being part of this vine with Jesus. And the fruit Jesus talks about, well, many of you will remember this. He's looking for the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the forbearance, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and self-control. It's a hard one to do, isn't it? But God makes it easy in His Spirit. We're invited to be secure, held by Jesus, and He will be in us. We are created in God's likeness, and that's what God wants us to magnify when we mobilize and share the love with others. All these and many more scriptures show us that the most important part of our faith is what's on the inside. Our mindsets are renewed and transformed by Jesus. But are they? It's simple to say, but do we let him? Are we magnifying God and allowing him to shine through us in everyday conversations and actions? Or are we worrying and carrying guilt and shame like a cloak that is hiding us from the light of Jesus? Are we choosing to hold on tightly to unforgiveness, to money, to people, to desires, to routine, than we are holding on to and trusting in Jesus? Are we stuck in a rhythm that feels comfortable? And where are we with God? Imagine this. If we could stop getting distracted by the world around us and spend undistracted time with God, what would that look like? Imagine if we knew God more relationally. How would we spend a day together and how would we feel? Imagine if we could be free from our inward thinking and looking and see the world through God's eyes. What would we see? Imagine if we knew our God-given purpose and the season we were in, where it was meant to blossom. How much lighter would we feel? Imagine the difference we as Carmel Church could have in this community if we magnified God more than us. What would it be ignited in Tameside? So when we go back to that question, what is my role in church? It's the same as yours. To faithfully serve God with obedience and to magnify and glorify him in everything we do. Because why? We serve an awesome God, don't we? Shall we stand and sing, "What an Awesome God"? Because it's him to the glory. It's him for everything. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we are changed by you. Not to be better versions of ourselves, but to be better versions for you and to glorify you. Lord, it makes no difference to the world if we are just ourselves. We can do good things and we can spend money on charities. But when you're behind it and the breath of the Holy Spirit is within us, so much more is released. So I just pray for anyone in the room today who just feels burdened, who feels crushed, who feels like they're here but they're not really here. Holy Spirit, we pray, can you move? Would you move in this space, Lord? We don't want to go out the same. We want to be changed by you. We want to see what you can do in this town, in this nation. More than what we can do. We want that front row seat to see it and say, I was there the day God did this. God, would you move? You're an awesome God. You are such an amazing God. May we not belittle you to just a tagline or a sticker on the fridge, but will we see your transformation power at work within each one of us? Help us get free from the things that are not of you and help us flourish together serving you in this town. Amen.